Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You are tuned into a special edition here, I guess you would call it, of the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name's Terry Tackett, and I will turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Terry.
I'm doing great today. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great.
That's good.
I'm doing great. Good to be here.
Thank you.
Kind of been a busy week for me, and thought I'd sneak in here and get the show done. And I enjoy doing it so much. I really don't like sitting in a guest host because I enjoy doing it. Anyway, I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. We are a Bible-believing and Bible-teaching church. Our service times are Sunday at 9:30 in the morning at Bible study hour, and worship time is at 10:30. We have a 6:30 evening service and youth group also at that time, plus midweek studies. Welcome you to give us a call, 740-494-2222 is the church's number. And the number here is 740-383-9944. Anytime you'd like to call in and talk with me, I'd be more than happy to take the call. Remember, it's a family-friendly show, and all calls need to be that way, but really would appreciate your calls coming in. Well, anyway, Terry, I'll tell you today, I want to talk a little bit about something that we've talked a little bit before on some other shows, but I have a great concern with school coming up here in about a month. We mentioned that last show. That's really tight for families. And some things that we could do to maybe alleviate some of the strain. And I'm going to start somewhere odd that you might not expect me to start, but I'm going to read from Scripture to begin with this afternoon. And this is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this is prior to the Hebrew people, Jewish people, going into the Promised Land. And listen to what's said here. Now this is the commandment, the statutes with it, the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it, so that you and your son, your grandson, might fear the Lord your God and keep all his statutes and commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen to and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Now here's the part I want to get to that I want you to pay particular attention to. He says, O hear Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them on a sign on your hand, and there shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And the reason I point that passage out today is that it tells us that whatever we're doing is not just a matter of knowing it. It's a matter of teaching it. It's a matter when you look at that particular passage and you look at what he's basically saying is, make sure that in your household, what I'm trying to teach you and what you need to teach is everywhere. And that you talk about it when you lie down, when you wake up, when you put it on your forehead, put it everywhere on your doorpost. Let it be known what needs to be done. And I think that God is telling us here that we need to be truly living and be proactive in our teaching and our raising of our children.
But what he's saying is we need to do that all the time, right? Because how many times do you see it? Well, I just need to do it maybe on the days I go to church. And then absolutely. When they come home, it's like, you go back to life, you have to keep that same message even when you.
And you're right, Terry. That teaches young people a total double standard. And they don't want a double standard, something they need trust in and believe in. And you're right. And if it's something they have all the time, that's not going to happen. You know, I was in thinking about young people and raising them. A lot of parents say, well, Pastor, you just don't know where I live. Pastor, you just don't know my neighborhood. You don't know. And it's true. In different areas of where we raise our children, it is more difficult. I'll have to admit, when my kids were young, very young, we moved way up north out in the middle of nowhere to a country school because some of the influences on my children were tough and they were hard. And I wanted to give, my wife and I both grew up in farming communities and did that for a lifestyle. And we wanted that same thing for our children, so that's what we did. It wasn't easy, but that's a choice we made because we wanted it for them. But I can say this, that if you truly raise children to be different, and what I mean by different is in a peculiar, good way. You know, God calls us to be a peculiar people, to be a different people, to not go with the flow of the world. And the thing is, I like to look at the Amish community. And people can say, boy, they are so deprived. How do those poor kids do it? All these kids working in the gardens, working in the fields. I spent a lot of time years ago around a lot of Amish families and different Amish communities, which are all different, depending on their bishop and certain rules they have. But I've been everywhere from the Bell Fountain area to up north in Geauga County. I've spent time in Holmes County, in that whole area over there, some of those communities. And what I found is this. It used to amaze me when I would go onto a farm and I'd see five or six kids playing together and they weren't fighting. And it was like, wow, this is weird. They got to start fighting at some point, right? But then I noticed that they all had their chores they were doing and they seemed to be working in harmony. And they didn't seem abused and they seemed happy. And if you would talk to any of them, they didn't feel like they were missing anything by not having what we think we need to have. And actually, as much as they wouldn't like to admit it, they're a pretty proud people of who they are. They actually look at us like we're the ones that are without, because here's what they have. They have family, they have community, and they have God. And it makes them happy. And they have the food they need. They have the friends they need. They have... they go together and self-insure themselves. They don't have this big insurance war that we're all battling about. They self-insure each other. You know, someone gets sick, goes to the hospital, they all come together, and that's what happens. And they work together that way. And I'm not asking everyone here to become Amish. But what I'm saying is I think we can take some lessons from that. You can be different and your kids not be deprived. You can be different and not have your kids feel like they're lesser than other people. You just have to be consistent in what you do, consistent in what you say, and let them know that they are special. They're special in God's eyes. They're special in your eyes. And they have a bright, beautiful future in front of them. And when you make rules in your home, if you stick to those rules, you know what they become? The rules of the home. And I've seen this played out. I've seen it played out with my own kids. I've seen it played out with some of my grandchildren, with a lot of other families. And parents say, oh, in this world today, you just can't do it. I know so-and-so that raised their kids so well, and one went out and got on drugs. Well, of course that's going to happen. There's those cases where that happens. But I know of oodles of kids that have grown up, gone away to college. I know some neat kids that have gone to our public universities, and they're out of school now. They've graduated. They're starting families. They didn't get sucked into that. You know why? Because they were given a standard. They were given hope, and they were given a reason. And they knew all that stuff was out there. They just said, that's not for me. So what I'm trying to encourage you to do out there, don't be afraid to set standards for your family and to hold to them. Kids are going to rebel against standards. They do. They rebel against all kinds of things. But you hold your ground. I remember one time my youngest daughter, and I tease her about this all the time. Not all the time, but every now and then. She said that we were making her do something or telling her, I don't remember what it was now. And she said, well, you can't make me do that. I don't want to do that. I just looked at her. She said, I'll call Children's Services. Now, how many of you parents out there have heard that line? Because kids know they can use it. And I told her, I said, okay, here's the deal. I'll hand you the phone and you call them. Because here's what's going to happen. While they're investigating to whether I'm this mean, cruel person that you're telling them I am, or for whatever reason, while they're investigating that, they're going to take you out of the home and they're going to put you in someone's care and you don't get to come home. And that kind of was the end of that conversation. It was like, uh-oh, home's pretty good. I think I better do what I'm told to do. I don't want to get this ball rolling. And, you know, and granted, now I'm not saying there are times when children's services do need called. We know that. But what I'm saying is, you know, when it's a matter of doing what you do as a parent and kids obeying what you say to do, I think in most cases you're going to get support. When I dealt with the school administrators when my kids were growing up over issues that would come up, when they saw that I was trying to raise my children as I should and as best I could, and that I was being a proactive parent, we were in each other's court all the way through school. You know, it got to the point where if they'd see one of my children even starting down a path that maybe didn't look good, they're on the phone to me and saying, hey, I just want to give you a heads up. You see, if they know parents are going to do that, they will be that way. So, you know, school's right, getting ready to start. And as we talked last week, we talked a little bit about, you know, planning and bedtimes and all those kind of things that we can start to enact. And planning for what they're going to wear each week, trying to be a little more organized. I think that it's a wonderful, wonderful time and opportunity to start a new program in your family life across the board. Find a church to go to. I mean, it's so important. It really is. I understand, I think, where we've come in the country to where people don't see the need to go and don't go. But I can honestly tell them, too, they're really missing out on a lot. You know, they're missing out on that community. They're missing out on the love that takes place. You know, a lot of times, you know, the church takes a bad rap. All church people are a bunch of bigots. You know, that's the farthest thing from the truth. I've got a niece that was raised in the church, and she has such a burden for people. She just a few months got back from the Middle East, and she was trying to help children and minister to children in Turkey, in Indonesia. She'd been in Indonesia. She'd been in India, all that area throughout there. And in a lot of huge dangerous situations for a young lady. But she did it because she cared about people. I had a teacher of mine one time that her sister was ministering in the Congo because she loved the people. And she was burned to death by a group of radical people. It didn't make her sister despise those people. She just understood those things are going to happen when you go into a region with unrest. But I know so many people out there that just keep going back and going back. I knew a couple of years ago, you had a couple speak at the church that they had been in a part of Africa where voodoo was just really rampant. And they came in and bound them up and held them hostage and threatened them, don't ever come back here again. You need to leave. Well, they're getting ready to leave on furlough to come home for a while. And, you know, they threatened them and beat her husband pretty good. And bottom line was they were getting ready to go back right back there. They said, we need to help these people because, you know, the starvation, the stuff that's going on is something we cannot not pay attention to. I would encourage you, listener, to open the chapter of James sometime in your Bible. It's right after Hebrews. And read that passage, the passages in there, where James explains what is the role of the believer and what they're supposed to do. And one thing that he really points out is that we are to be active in our faith and not passive in our faith. In other words, we're supposed to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And that's what we're supposed to do. And Christian people do that. So what better place to me than to find a church that wants to teach the Bible, that's family-oriented, that isn't so worried about, as we talked about last week, about what the dress code is or how much money you're bringing. That should not be a factor whatsoever. People that just want to love you and help you. And several years ago, I had a mission team stop by and from South Carolina. They were doing an Ohio visit. And they came in and wanted to visit our church and know about us and whatnot, just for an afternoon. And we decided to form a partnership with them. And they came here to Marion County with like 20 or 30 kids every year for a few years. And they cleaned up alleys. They cleaned up creeks. They did all kinds of things. But it was funny, when they formed this partnership, I asked the mission director, I said, well, what do you guys want to do when you come? And the mission director said, we just want to love all over you. And I thought, that's kind of a weird thing. But it was kind of a Southern thing to say, but that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to come and love us and do whatever was needed. And I think that's something we need to see. That's why I encourage people to find a good church to go to, where people want to love all over you. You know, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what your past is. You can come to our church. I don't care if you've been in prison. I don't care if you've been bankrupt. I don't care if you're ugly. You're not ugly in God's eyes, right?
Yeah.
I don't care how much money you make or if you make any money. I don't care if you've been disabled. I don't care if you're beautiful. I don't care. It just doesn't matter. You know, we all have issues that need resolved. And if you've got kids that are struggling in school, maybe they don't feel like anyone cares about them, let them begin to have a church family where you've got a youth group that's going to care about you and take care of you and be there for you. It's necessary. I've seen more kids saved from the clutches of obscurity and being demeaned in the public environment. I've seen more kids that have excelled in the church and with youth groups and have a different life because that's where they were planted. And parents today, they hear negative about the churches. Like we talked before, you hear about the silly Westboro Baptists, that they're neither a church nor Baptist. They're just a radical hate group that has taken on a name. And because of our the way things are set up, they managed somehow to get a 501c3. But they're not Baptist by any means. They don't do what Baptists do. They're not even a church. They're a hate group. But people hear that and they think, man, what a church that is. And it's not. And you see of anytime there's a youth leader that decides to have an affair with a child, you know, it goes public nationwide. Well, there's people around young people that do that all the time, but it gives people an impression that it's everywhere. It may be one in a million, but it gives the people the impression, and it's not true. Churches today have taken a very proactive role when it comes to background checks, with people working with kids, with having two people working with kids at all times and not one. All those kind of things, well, they've had to do it in order to make sure that those things don't slip in. There's a lot of problems in our society today. I think a lot of them have been brought on by electronic access to things that maybe they didn't used to be able to access before, that have helped pollute the mind and get people on a path they didn't need to be on. But I can't do anything about that. Can you, Terry? I can't do a thing about it. And that's part of the problem, too, is we spend a lot of time talking about things that we can't do anything about. We can complain all day long that the internet's the biggest problem in the world, but I can tell you something. You and I aren't going to get rid of the internet. We can complain all the time there's parents out there that don't care about raising children. You and I can't get rid of them. The best thing that we can do is encourage those out there to turn over a new leaf, to go right direction, or if they're already in that direction, to stand firm and stick at it. Find groups that you can meet with for some background and support. And honestly, you find that in the church. You know, you find other families that are in the same position you are, wanting to raise your kids the way they should be raised, to be responsible, productive, loving adults, and they're having the same battles you are. So you can help each other. You can counsel with each other. You know, what do I do? My child's doing A, B, or C. You know, the Bible also tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. No truer statement was ever said. When they get old, they look back. That's just a common thing that happens. What worked? Do you know how many people I know that have raised kids, and their kids maybe go out and hit the world, and they think, man, I tried to raise them right, I did this, I did that. And then all of a sudden they find their kids about 6-7 years later, mom, dad, we're going to start going to church. And before you know it, they're back right with what you taught them, because they went through that. You know, you know the story in the Bible of the prodigal son. The prodigal son took off. He took his inheritance. He went out and he spent it on wild women and everything that he could do until he was broke. And he ended up in a position where a hog farmer told him he could sleep with the hogs, he could eat with the hogs, but he had to take care of the hogs. Now, that was a great position to be in. But it's a perfect picture of what happens when we rebel and go south. Today, I might interpret that story. Took your inheritance, hit the road, got wild, got into drugs, life fell apart, almost died, you know, that kind of thing. But then he turned around. And it was funny, when he was going back to his father, he wasn't coming back saying, hey, I want all my inheritance back, I want all this other stuff. He was saying, maybe my dad will just give me something to eat because I don't even really deserve that. But he found when he came back that his father said, go kill the fatted calf, and put a robe on him and cleaned him up and welcomed him back. It's a perfect picture of what God does. You know, God is not, when you come back to God, when you've been away from God, when you come back, he's not going to beat you down. He's not going to say, all right, you've got this penance to pay, and then maybe I'll let you feel like one of my children again. It is that quick, instantaneous. You come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I turned my life around. He's right there for you. Now, you might have some things and baggage out there you're hanging on to, but it's paid for. It's gone. You don't have to worry about it. And I just think that, you know, I talk about these things as we're getting a school year started. Parents, grandparents, foster parents, whoever is out there, aunts, uncles, raising children, I implore you to please begin to start a new regiment with your kids that's going to be positive. I know it's going to be hard. I know you're going to get rebellion. You know, limit that that time on Facebook and the internet, and tell them that, you know, they don't have to have what every other kid has. My daughter that has her children are the oldest kids in our family, most of them. She told them as young kids, they said, look, I don't care if your friend in first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade has a phone. You're not going to have one. You don't need it. And they stuck to that. And it's real interesting, Terry. Their kids learned how to play in the mud. They learned how to go outside, play ball. They learned how to they have great imaginations. Unbelievably well-rounded young people. My granddaughter graduated last year. She got in her last sports awards night, she was given the Spirit Award, which is an amazing award. And that is someone that uplifts everyone around them and is a team player. Now, didn't I just get done saying she wasn't allowed to have all that stuff? See, she didn't end up deprived and anything. No, she built character. We can remove things they don't need from them. If nothing else, folks, look at the cost out there of this stuff. You don't have to buy everything new, no matter what they say. Quite frankly, kids are wearing jeans that look like the Goodwill wouldn't accept. but you know, my point, the other day, I've got a wedding this evening to do, and I couldn't find a pair of black pants that fit right. I thought, man, I really don't want to... Clothes are expensive today, Terry, you know that. And I ran over to the Salvation Army, and I found a pair of pants that fit me like a tailor had made them, and I paid $2.50. And they're as nice as anyone's pants that would wear anyway. I think they were Dockers or something, not cheap pants. And the point is that, you know, come on, families, let's get smart about this. You know...
Well, my thing is, the way I look at it is, if you're smart and you make decisions like that, that leaves you more money to do fun stuff, to buy new stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, but just make some decisions, some better decisions along the way, and you'll have, you know, the kids will have more at the end, you know, if that's what you want to do or whatever.
You know, take that money. This is a good plan to take that money and put it back. Okay, say that you were going to go buy your kids a $20 pair of pants, okay, or $25, $30, and you're able to stop at one of these places, find a pair that looks great. No one's going to know where they came from, and who cares if they do? You know, my kids would brag to their friends, man, I got these for $1.50. Before you know it, they're taking their friends to Goodwill and Salvation Army with them, and it becomes a cool thing to do because look what we can do.
Just what you said just now about the $2.50. Imagine taking a $20 bill in there, what you could get.
Mm-hmm. There's your clothes for the school year to start.
Yeah. Then if you want the money you were going to use for the new school clothes, maybe get nice shoes or something.
Absolutely. Or if you wanted to start a way to put it back, take what you would have spent and the difference between and put it back, because you were going to spend it anyway, right? And put it back and try that for a month and see what you have at the end of the month on everything that you do. You know, if you're going to put that money back towards a car so you don't have to have a car payment when your car's done, wouldn't that be amazing? You eliminate an entire payment. Car payment, $250, $300 a month, you're not going to have it anymore. Plus, because the car's paid for, you're going to have cheaper insurance going in and getting insurance on that car. You're not going to need gap insurance because it's already paid for and that stuff that goes with it. So there's all those kind of things. Maybe for the first time you can afford to buy a life insurance policy for your family in case something does happen to you. But all those things you can do. You're spending too much at the... maybe you can't afford to spend it as much as you do at the doctor. Maybe you're having health insurance issues, whatever. You know, I'll tell you something. The Center Street Clinic in Marion... You know, they got great doctors. My granddaughter that's disabled, Julia, her doctor from Delaware decided that she wanted to do something more of a mission type thing. And she was a sought after doctor there that had more patients. She turned away all of her patients. She left that practice and went to Center Street Clinic because she wanted to help people. And, you know, they base it on your pay or what you make. And the point is, she's a great doctor. You're not going in there and getting doctors that are second rate. You're getting great doctors. Think about these things. Begin to look at where you're spending money, how you're spending money. Sit down and do something that nobody seems to do anymore. Make a grocery list. And beyond that grocery list, when you bring it home, here's the tough part, enforce it. And what I mean by that is, most kids today, if it's in the refrigerator, they're grabbing it, right? I know when I was growing up, if stuff was in the refrigerator and I grabbed it, I was in big trouble because mom planned meals that way. There's just so many ways, if we'll just sit and think about it and say, how can I enact something that makes sense?
Well, this time of year, with all the things from the garden.
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen more people than I can shake a stick at have too much corn and have to get rid of it.
Well, I was at the gas station in Prospect this morning, and a fellow I know pulled in his pickup truck, and he's sweating, and he said, man, I've been out picking cucumbers all morning. And he has a huge garden, and his truck bed was full of cucumbers. And he said, does anybody want any of these? Take as many as you want. I've seen people with baskets sitting by the road that have zucchinis and what on them. It just says free. And the point is, yeah, there is that stuff. You know, something that's interesting that we did when my kids were young and we still lived in the city in Columbus, they would have these fruit stand, vegetable stands. People would come in, some of them were from out of state, but they'd come in every weekend and they'd set up on the corners and they'd just be huge. Well, what I do is wait till they were about to close for the weekend, maybe had an hour left, and I knew they were leaving and wouldn't be back till next week. Well, everything they had would go bad between that time and when they came back, so they had to get rid of it. And I would just say, okay, look, I'll take whatever you got left. Give me that for a bushel, for a buck for a bushel. And I'll tell you what, my wife and I froze and canned food to feed our kids for the entire winter by doing that. So what I'm saying is, there's ways you can do this stuff. I know of a strawberry farm that recently, the strawberries weren't ideal because of the weather. They weren't ideal to sell. And they gave away bushels of strawberries. But I'm telling you, it's out there. Another thing that if you're in Marion, and I don't know who's doing it right now, I apologize, but if you would call one of the, like the Salvation Army, they could probably direct you to it. There is a produce place somewhere here. It's in all of our cities that Mid Ohio Food Bank has somebody as their produce stop. And you can go to those places and they will give you produce, because if you don't take that produce, it's getting thrown out.
I believe, don't quote me 100% on this, but I believe it's that church on Richland Road, I believe.
On Richland, are they still doing that?
I think they're still doing
it. I know
that.
They were doing it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if they were.
Maybe, like I say, that was the last, or let me put it this way, that was the last one I heard that was doing it.
And I was thinking, too, of, that is going to be the 9th, I think, at 10 o'clock in the morning. I put that on the, I posted that for the school giveaway, supply giveaway.
I had somebody ask me about that last week. Is that the 9th, you say, at 10 o'clock?
Yeah. Is the 9th a Saturday?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And 9th at 10 o'clock in the morning.
And it was at Elgin, right?
Elgin.
Okay.
Yeah. If you go on the Elgin site, it'll be there. Okay. But it's for anyone in that district.
Okay.
And that's a big district.
Yeah.
You got New Bloomington, LaRue, even edges into Marion a little bit. Okay. And Prospect, Green Camp. Yeah. So, yeah, school supplies, man. Hey, we can use them if you want to donate them, but if you need them, go get them. And, you know, that's a great thing to do.
I had a lady stop me about that last week, and she, you know, wasn't sure of the date, so I had to, I told her that was the first question I was going to make sure I ask you today, yeah. So.
And I actually posted that.
Okay.
You know, I'll tell you where it is. And while we're talking, go ahead and keep talking, Terry. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find this.
No. That's, like I say, I'm glad, I'm so just so glad you brought that up, because she stopped me, and I told her for sure to make sure that she went there, but mm-hmm. I told her I would double check the date and the time just to make sure that. So I got August 9th, 10 o'clock at Elgin. Is it at the high school or?
I'm going to pull it up here right
okay.
now.
Okay, all right.
I'm glad we came up with this. And
yeah.
That's something that's pretty daggone important.
Absolutely.
Here it is. Let's see.
Well, because I was out the other day just pricing school supplies. My goodness, man.
It says, here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
It says, this is what's on our site, and this is for people wanting to donate also. It says, it is that time of year, friends of CCF and Elgin. Time to start collecting those supplies for the kiddos that are less fortunate and families that need a little help getting their school supplies. If you think about it, just pick up a few extra items each time you shop over the next several weeks. God will honor your giving and fill your heart with joy. We will collect now through August 7th and will participate on August 8th. So, there's our time frame there.
Okay, August 8th.
Yes.
Is it still that 10 a.m. or?
Yes, I believe that's
okay.
it.
Okay. But you're collecting till the 7th.
Yeah, if you want to know, give it a few days
and contact the
church.
Okay, that's what I told her. I told her to get a hold of either you or the church.
Yeah,
or,
absolutely.
Okay, all right.
And we'll make sure they don't get missed. But they even put the stuff together for all the grades. It'll be great. But, you know, I'm just trying to encourage people. Look,
because she's out there. She's just right by Whirlpool out there. I think it's where she lives out of.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
but it's just one of those things that, you know, we can do this, folks. We can't control the world around us, but we can control what's in our own home and what we do. And if we're going to make this a better world, we're going to do it one person, one family at a time. We're not going to do it by forcing the masses to do one thing or another. We're going to make a better world by your home being a better world and someone else's home being a better world and coming together and working together in a community to make it a better world and recognizing that God loves all of us. And you know, what if he sent his son Christ to die on a cross for our sins, there's great love there. You know, so why wouldn't we come together and understand that we're all in this together? We truly are. And you know, it blankets over everyone. It's far greater than clubs. It's far greater than politics. It's far greater than anything in the world. I have a picture. I may have mentioned this. My mother had a picture that was painted in the early 1960s that hung at our house for years, and now I have it at the church. It's not hanging at the moment, but anyway, it is a picture of the UN building. Okay, it's a painting of the UN building with cars on the street, all the flags around. You've seen what the UN looks like, and standing there, the height of the UN building is Jesus knocking on it, and basically what he's saying, folks, you come together for answers, I'm right here. And that has truly been something that I've had to learn in my own life, that I've had to give up the reins and trust God and do what he says in his word. And I know it works. He says it works. It has worked. By doing what he has said to do and what Scripture tells me to do, it has restored my entire family. Because if I would have stayed on the road I was as a young person, as a young father and as a young adult, my family would have been a mess. They really would have been. And I've seen that transformation take place in my own life. And one of the reasons I truly believe that all my children turned and followed God the way they did and are so active and involved themselves is because they saw what that transformation did in my life. I was pretty much an open book. I wasn't trying to lead a double life with them. And when they saw what God did in my life, they knew that it was real. And it was something they needed to pay attention to. And, you know, parents out there, you do what's right, and your kids are going to love you and bless you for it. You spoil them, they're not going to even like you when they get older, because you can never, ever, ever give them enough to satisfy being spoiled. You can't do it. They just keep wanting more. It's an insatiable desire for more that won't stop. And they expect you to continually do it. If you set ground standards and rules and disciplines, they're going to say, you know what? This person cares about me. They're not doing it to be mean. You know, it broke my heart to discipline my kids when they were young. Many times it did. But I knew what I was doing. I told my kids, you know, I'd rather that you hate me now and love me later than think I'm this great dad now and despise me later. So think about that a minute. I know that's hard. We want our kids to smile, not cry. But you know, it's just like taking a baby away from a hot stove. They're going to cry when you say no and pull them away. But what's the alternative? And it doesn't change. We've got to be there for them. Show consistency in our own lives. I've just got a minute or so. Terry, where are we at? We got 5 minutes? Okay. Can I say something out there that I haven't said too much on this show? Husbands out there, love your wife. Let your kids see that you love your wife. Put her first. Put her above your friends. Put her above your activities. Put her above your own wants. Decide that her life is more important than yours. And that you're going to do anything and everything to see that her wife life is wonderful. She'll begin to trust you more. Wives out there, love and respect your husband. Do the same. You'll see a difference in your family. I was reading my dad's Bible after he died. He was killed in a car accident when I was 13. He was 40 years old. And he had written all this stuff in the back of this little tiny Bible that he carried. It was the entire Bible, but man, that thing wasn't 6 inches tall. My dad had great eyes, as did I before I got past 40. But anyway, he was writing these things in the back, And he had gone through a lot of struggles in his life. And I remember some of the verses he wrote, not Bible verses, but his writing. He said, life is a struggle. Life is difficult without the Lord. The house is noisy. The kids constantly fight without the Lord. Money's a struggle. Finances are hard without the Lord. And he went on and on, and he wrote all these things. And he was writing from his heart for himself, for his own purpose. I know he didn't show it to anybody. Saw it in there after he passed away. But he understood and he knew that without God there, these things were horrible. And at the time, he was missing that relationship in his life. And he understood what the house looked like without God in it. So I'm encouraging you out there, let God into your lives. You know, find a church. Begin to go. Make it a standard. This is something we do in our family. We go to church. This is something we do in our family. We go here, we go there. We go to ball games. We go to this. We go to church. And one thing you're really going to be surprised at when your kids get there, they're going to see people that they didn't know went to church, that go to that church, that are at their school, and it forms whole new bonds and relationships. It's important. You know, your young men need to respect young women, and they learn that by what they see in their fathers and the men in their lives. And the same with young women. We've got to start in the home, folks. That's where it starts. We can't rely on politicians. They do great things for us in many ways, but it's got to start at home. We can't rely on the schools. It's got to start in the home. Schools are doing the best they can with what they've got. But their lives will be a lot easier and school will go a lot better if it started in the home. And we'd be proactive in our parenting and in our relationships. You know, when we get married, quit saying that I'm going to marry this person and I'll stay with them till it's no fun anymore. Decide that I'm going to stay there through the long haul and see the joy. I've been married 40 years, a little over 40 years. And I'll tell you what, there's times that I bet she wanted to strangle me. I know there's probably a few times I wanted to strangle her. And we've been through some tough, tough times. But sticking together, what confidence we have that I know she's not going anywhere and I'm not going anywhere. It starts in the home, folks. God loves you. I welcome you to come to Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street. We would love to have you come as you are. Please do. And find a home church. If you can't make it clear to Prospect, find one closer. If you need a ride, call me. We're at 740-494-2222. Terry, I enjoyed this show. It certainly wasn't exciting with a lot of big events, but it's something that I felt needed talking
good
about.
Message, yeah.
And these families, you need it, man. I love you guys. I don't even know most of your faces out there, but I love you guys, and I do because I care about you. And I just want you guys to have better lives than your family. I may never get to know you, but it doesn't matter. You know, you get your life on track, it's all worthwhile. And I encourage those that have their lives on track, stay there, stay the course. The reward in the end is unbelievable. Terry, have a great week.
Thank you.
I've got to go do a wedding in Hilliard.
It sounds like you got a fun evening lined up.
Big fun. Yeah. A couple kids I went to school with. Well, they're not kids anymore. They're like me. But
good.
I went to school with. Hey, God bless you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Till next week.
You're listening to WWGH.